Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
A reminder, our coverage of the football postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. I like that answer from Vrabel. And, you know, it's the kind of thing. I said we'd get our Memba berries earlier today.
Oh, yeah.
That's about the closest you got. But, okay.
But good answer, though.
The people, yeah. The history, it's part of what makes New England so special. The banners aren't going to help us win, but it's a great reminder of what it takes to win. I thought it was a good answer from Vrabel. That would be an example of, you know, Vrabel not necessarily giving you the substance we were talking about earlier, but way back early in the show, Vrabel's going to be a home run from a PR standpoint with that sort of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I think the majority of fans wanted him. Even throughout this year, you got calls for Vrabel. Last year, there were calls for Vrabel. I remember last year around this time, before they had hired Mayo, that like couple days when Belichick was out and some of the reporting had started to pop up that like Mayo was going to just be promoted to that job, but nobody wanted Mayo.
No.
Nobody actually wanted Mayo. People either wanted to keep Bill or they wanted Vrabel or, like you and I, wanted somebody completely away from the tree. But those were kind of the three options. Nobody wanted Mayo. So Vrabel had a lot of support last year. And then seeing the way that Mayo failed this year, there was even more call for Vrabel. So you're going to win that. He's good in these situations. Also, something that Mayo wasn't good at.
No.
Which we didn't know going in. In fact, we thought the opposite. We thought he was going to be good at press conferences and interacting with the media and answering questions. And he was in way over his head. Vrabel's good with that. He does seem like, personality standpoint, an excellent head coach. It's sort of like being the face of the place. Like Mike Vrabel can do that. And now my questions are, who's your offensive coordinator? And who's picking the players? And it seems like Elliott Wolf is still going to be a big part of picking the players, which gives me a lot of concern. Like, I like Vrabel, but I don't like Elliott Wolf, and it's still TBD on the offensive coordinator thing.
So on the coordinators, Curran asked him about offensive and defensive. He said, far from solidified. He did say, as long as I'm coach here, coaches have three simple jobs, teach, develop, inspire.
I like it.
But no specifics on McDaniels or anybody else. In fact, he said it's far from solidified. As for roster control, and, you know, who would be with him in the front office, including Ryan Cowden. He was asked directly about that. Giardi asked him about roster control. He said shared organizational vision for what we want to do. Conversations with Elliott.
This guy's got his hooks in on the franchise.
We don't always need to agree, but we're going to have a shared organizational vision. And then he was asked directly about Ryan Cowden, who Vrabel wanted as GM in Tennessee in his last days there. He's been in New York the last couple of years. Charles Robinson at Yahoo Sports reported he will be coming to New England, though Wolf will still be in charge of personnel. He said, Elliott and I will have conversations.
Yeah.
Nothing's been finalized. Nothing has been determined. There's going to be turnover, which is good. New coaches, new faces. That's what the process is.
Need some new players. Need some new coaches.
Including good ones, Elliott. Don't draft the sucky ones anymore. Get the good ones.
Well, last year, you know, going into the draft, it was pretty obvious who they should take at number three. You know, there was three top-end quarterbacks. It was out of your control. The two teams ahead of you were taking quarterbacks. So you took who was there. This year, man, you could ask 10 different NFL people, what would you do with the fourth pick? And you might get 10 different answers.
Yeah, you would answer Travis Hunter.
I would have Travis Hunter right now.
I think if you watched Penn State the other night, a lot of people would say Abdul Carter.
I'm kind of talking myself into that.
Are you?
I'm very offensive-minded, but like this guy's a freak show.
He looked incredible in that game.
Yeah.
I'll acknowledge that. I wasn't super high on him at the fourth pick, but he looked awesome in that game. I still like the idea of getting another corner across from Gonzalez. So your guy Hunter... Will Johnson at Michigan.
That's what I'm saying. So you could go corner, you could go wide out, you could go lineman, okay. You could go pass rusher, or you could go trade down.
But listening to Vrabel, really my real answer is okay. I would trade down, but if I'm picking at four,
yeah.
What would I do? I think he told you the O-line is going to be important. And
they
I
need BHA.
I think he made that. Yeah. Not, well,
BSHA. Is best it, smart hoss available.
Is it the best hoss or the best smart hoss?
Well, a caller wanted three smart hosses coming in, and he might get his wish. We'll see. Fourth pick, I'm still pissed that they don't have the first pick. We should talk about that every day
until
the draft.
We should.
They have the fourth pick. That's still something.
Vrabel was asked about his top priorities. He said, look what's available in free agency. See what you can sign. So he started with free agency. Then he said, look at the teams that can protect the quarterback through free agency or the draft. That's something that's critical. So that might have been a clue as to what they're going to do either in free agency or at number four. But that's how he... envisions building the team. I think that's how they built him in Tennessee.
I think it's another
O-line, D-line is how they built it.
Yeah, and I think this is another advantage to being on three different NFL teams in some role, right? Obviously, head coach of Tennessee versus consultant with Cleveland's different, but you sort of see it through a different lens. So it's not just this is how the Patriots do things. This is how the Patriots would take players. This is what they would do with those players. He has a lot more experience with that, so that is a good thing.
Okay, I've been promising some phone calls here. Let's get to them. 617-779-7937. You could jump in line on Mike Vrabel, and still, if you want to talk about Keith and the Bruins, we can get back into that as well. Jeff is in the van. Go ahead, Jeff.
Just a quick question. Do they qualify for Hard Knocks? I'd love to see the behind the scenes.
Not with a new coach, Jeff.
No, if you have a rookie, well, not rookie coach, but first-year coach for a team, you don't have to do it. So I think they're probably not.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate it, guys.
Okay.
Love the show.
Okay. That was it. He said Patriots and Crafts was what he wanted to talk about, but apparently it was Hard Knocks.
If they kept Mayo, they would have been eligible for the first time maybe ever, right? Because, like, playoff teams don't have to do it. Or it's like if you miss the playoffs for, like, multiple years, new head coach, and there's, like, one other caveat.
Yeah, there's a bunch of
stipulations.
Maybe
you just have done it before.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they hadn't really been eligible in a long time. I think if they kept Bill one more year, they could have done it. Or if they kept Mayo one more year, they could have done it. But so they'll avoid it once again.
Randy is in Providence. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, I'm excited about Vrabel as the coach. I remember working the game he came up for the Hall of Fame there, and it just felt like it was such a shame that he was going back to Tennessee. But I wanted to talk about the offensive staff. I don't know, you know, we don't know, obviously, if McDaniels is the guy, but it's got to be a possibility. And I think with or without him, I'd be interested in hearing what you guys think about Brian Hartline and Justin Fry being on the offensive staff somewhere. They're at Ohio State now, wide receiver and offensive line coaches, respectively. And they've done a great job putting out quality talent into the league over the past 5 years.
Yeah, I'm not trying to reach to offensive assistants at Ohio State, personally.
Yeah, I mean, you got, like, Ryan Day and Chip Kelly, so he's the third guy, right?
And here's the thing. What do we hear over and over and over again about Vrabel? You got to come in. You need guys who have done it. Now I'm going to bring in a bunch of guys from college? No, thanks.
All right, Brian Hartline or Josh McDaniels?
As my offensive coordinator, I would go McDaniels.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Same.
I mean, I don't want McDaniels here. He's not my top choice, but I would go with
Josh McCown or Josh McDaniels.
I would go McCown.
Yeah, me too. He has that. He worked with May in high school, for God's sakes. But then, I don't know, working with Sam Darnold and the Vikings, like, it's something different.
So
like that.
This remains my takeaway with Vrabel. And, you know, he gave you some of this in the press conference. No more excuses. That's done. You're going to take advantage of bad football. Guys are going to be on time. They're going to be respectful, et cetera, et cetera. No more excuses. Can't stub your toe in year one. You got to go out and be competitive. You got to go out and be good right away. There might have been an excuse. I'm not saying it would have been satisfactory. But with Ben Johnson, there's an excuse. He's never been a head coach before. So
right.
there's some learning on the job.
Yep.
There's no learning on the job here.
No.
So you got to get it done. You got to get it done immediately. And I think there was way more substance from Vrabel today than there was from Mayo a year ago. We'll see if that works out. But I think that's an immediate takeaway. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on Mike Vrabel, his introductory press conference, your thought on where things stand with Rich Keefe, David Pastrnak, Brad Marchand, and the Bruins. We can get to all of that with your phone calls coming up next. Mike Vrabel introduced last hour as head coach of the New England Patriots. You heard it here on WEEI. We've been giving our reaction all day long. You can check it out on the Odyssey app. Just download the app. It's free. It's easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You won't miss out on anything here on WEEI, including eventually Mike Vrabel's press conferences on The Greg Hill Show.
I like mic'd up Mondays.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, not press conferences. His interview every week. Yeah, you like mic'd up?
Yeah, because it's, was it Mondays with Mike or mic'd up Mondays?
Yeah.
Are the options right now? I think mic'd up Mondays.
I think it sounds real nice.
Former teammate of one Jermaine Wiggins. Mm-hmm. So that could lead to some interesting stuff. I think it'd be great on that. I wonder if they get him before the season.
I was just going to ask. They did last year with Mayo.
They
sure
did. We used those clips forever. Maybe they'll be like, no, even though we trust you, Mike. Like, last time you did this, guy was saying he's going to burn cash and they're going to guaranteed win more than four games. Those were all from that interview.
Yeah, but
You don't have that same fear with Vrabel.
No, correct.
Not at all.
One of the moments you knew it was going to go really wrong with Mayo, if you're the Crafts, we all loved it at the time. When he's talking about burning cash and letting you know they're going to take a quarterback, like all that stuff right away, guaranteeing more than four wins.
Yeah, I think burn some cash.
They were probably like, oh, boy.
What did he say? What did he just say?
So, yeah, I'd expect Mike Vrabel here on WEEI soon-ish. I don't want to promise anything, but that would be my guess.
What kind of timetable do you put on offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, some of those announcements?
The way they're going, fast.
Yeah. If it's people that aren't involved, like, I wonder, is there any chance you get somebody that's on a team now, and does that slow things down? Because they specifically interviewed guys that they could get in and out of here and move on.
They've been linked to Josh McCown, who I guess is in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying.
But they've also been linked
to
Tommy Rees available. Right, right. He could be out tonight, meaning McCown. Tommy Rees, the Browns are out. McDaniels isn't doing anything.
I mean, if you could get Tommy Rees, you got to get Tommy Rees.
He's going on games with names with Julian Edelman and stuff. Like, he's not doing anything.
That's true.
So if you're asking me, do I think it'll happen quickly? Yeah, I think it'll happen. The whole thing's happened quickly.
It is.
They had the guy hired probably the second there were fire Mayo chants at the Chargers game, and they got smoked in that game.
As soon as Ladd McConkey scored his first touchdown against the Pats, they're like, all right, call Mike Vrabel right now. We're done with this sideshow.
Ironically, though, the guy who's going to lose his job or the guy who lost his job is Mayo, not the guy who made that call with the draft pick.
No.
Elliot Wolf, who sounds real safe.
That is bizarre. And all right, so let's see. I don't know. We haven't talked to any Patriots fans that are like, yeah, give Elliot Wolf another shot.
None.
If anything, it's like, you know, if you're going to fire Mayo, you also have to fire Wolf.
That's how
everybody, 95% of people are on board with moving on from Mayo after 1 year. Maybe there was 5% that's like, this is just really unfair. Give him another shot. But nobody's like, keep Wolf. I mean, the Raiders fired their GM, and all he did was draft an all-pro in the first round and like three other starters.
True.
And they moved on from him. So I don't know, but it definitely seems like Elliot Wolf is going to be a big part of their front office this year.
For sure. I felt that way. Charles Robinson, I think, is a very, very, very plugged-in reporter. When he said that yesterday, I said, oh, here we go. And so we'll see if Elliot Wolf keeps personnel power, but I think he's going to have it immediately. And I think Mike Vrabel is going to have to prove he deserves more of it. I liked how Vrabel walked the line all day long between, you know, paying homage to all the Super Bowls and all the success and what he helped accomplish here in the early 2000s that continued for two decades, but also not making too much of it. Like, that answer there Belichick, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's important, but it's interesting.
He is kind of, he's not full Bill Belichick, right? Where Bill Belichick thought every little thing was a competitive advantage or whatever. Like, I'm not going to tell you if a player is in the building or not. I'll never say a word about anything. And you're like, all right, like, when you're winning, that's great. Everything's great when you're winning. But then when you're losing, you're like, well, can you fill us in on a little bit of this? Like, we have a lot of interest in this. Like, fans want to know, and you can't tell us anything. And then Mayo might overshare and then have to walk it back, and then he was like all over the place. I think Vrabel's kind of in between. Like, I don't think he's at risk of saying something and then the next day being like, I really put my foot in my mouth. But he's also not going to treat it like it's Fort Knox and it's like these are the world secrets that I can't tell you. So I am looking forward to that. Like, I think you can do it in a variety of different ways, and I think he's going to do it in a way where, you know, he's stern but also like respectful to the players, but then also treating everybody else, you know, like the way he handled things today. Like, he's answering your questions, but then there are ones that he doesn't want to, but he's not going to be like a dink about it completely.
Yeah. So playing for Bill is interesting. I don't know if it's important for helping our players. You know, the other one I liked is the one that we played you earlier. You know, the banners aren't going to help us win, but it's a great reminder of what it takes to win. So you want to be cognizant of the history. You were a big part of the history and the success. but you don't just want to assume because it's been successful before, it's easy.
Yep.
And I think that was part of Mayo's problem. Mayo clearly didn't understand the vast undertaking this was going to be and how seriously he had to take it. I just think he said, well, people were tired of Bill. I'll just come in and be different than Bill, and I'll be nicer than Bill, and everything will just click because it has. And I don't think Vrabel is under that same impression.
I also really liked how he was talking about his relationship or his working relationship with Drake May is going to be about, like, you know, game situations.
Yep.
And
yeah, I'm not going to teach him the footwork. I'm not going to teach drop, but I am going to teach him the situational aspect of how you got to think through these different game situations.
Which I think I've always had a lot of respect for Vrabel in game. Like, I think he knows exactly what he's doing, and that can be such an advantage. And, like, that can be, you know, something, especially for a young player, even though he's not, right, like an offensive genius. Nobody's saying that he is. But just those situations, and that's where you kind of capitalize on other teams making kind of dumb mistakes or having your whole team at all times know the rules. Like, there are some, like, nuanced rules throughout the year that I feel like we talk about maybe every couple of weeks where you're like, how many guys on the field do you think even knew that? Or I feel like...
Yeah, how about the free kick field goal with Harbaugh this year?
Yeah, crap like that.
Mayo had no clue. I bet Vrabel knows.
He'd be like, whoa, what is that? Yeah. Vrabel would know, and I also feel like he would communicate it to his team where... Week in and week out, you probably have that little coaching advantage.
Real quick, because we're going to get to a trending here. We're still catching up on time because Vrabel ran long. For anybody who's surprised you're still here today, Keith.
Oh, I know.
And not hiding in a closet, as Brad Marchand told you to do.
Yeah, what does that
you're
mean?
Not somewhere pounding sand.
No.
You obviously are running from your reporting today, right? Because Marchand called you out. I mean, obviously you ran and cowered.
No.
You're not standing by it, right?
No, I am.
Oh, you are?
I am standing by it.
Oh, okay.
Much to the chagrin of... I know he's a wolf, and he doesn't worry himself with sheep, even though he literally wrote that and then spent time going through his photo roll looking for pictures that he and Pasternak to post.
Uh-huh.
It'd be like, everything's great. Everything's always been great. Don't worry about us, because we have these old pictures of us together, so we're fine, obviously.
Yeah.
No, I stand by my reporting. I haven't gotten the Bruins thing wrong, and I don't think this one's wrong either.
Okay. Keep standing by it. If you missed any of that address earlier today, that's also on the Odyssey app. Again, Audacy. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. We'll check in with WEEI Afternoon, see what they have coming up, plus our clip du jour. And on the way next, it's time for Grab Bag.
Russians don't take a dump, son, without...
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Grab bag.
It's time for grab bag. It's time.
All right, time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. It's been a jam-packed program. Mike Vrabel introduced as the 16th head coach in New England Patriots franchise history. His press conference, about 40 minutes of Mike Vrabel. Started with Robert Kraft, gave flowers to Mike Vrabel's wife. She had to hold them the rest of the day.
Very strange.
Not sure what she's doing with those.
No.
But then Vrabel, we were going through a lot of it. Very strong first impression of him.
It was. Two takeaways. Number one, do we say this on the air or not, that Jonathan Kraft wasn't going to be there? I know we were talking about it off the air.
Oh, somebody called in and said he's not going to be there.
Yes.
And he was, in fact, there.
Jonathan was there.
Yeah, he was.
Mego gave us the heads up on that. There was another reporter you said tweeted that out.
Yep.
So Jonathan Kraft was indeed there. The other thing that jumped out, this didn't occur to me until now, which I don't know why this didn't occur to me until we were kind of talking through things and thinking about it in the last break.
Yeah.
Robert took no questions.
No, probably for the best.
No, I mean, I think that probably is smart, but
leave
it's
on a high note. Hear from Vrabel. All we're thinking about now is Vrabel's comments.
It's also interesting. There were no questions for Robert Kraft about, I mean, he came up and gave a statement, but there were no questions about the search or any of that. So I guess the further we get away from that, the more that jumps out, the more interesting it is.
Don't you think he maybe know why?
Yeah, he'd probably screw
up.
How
close was Pep Hamilton to getting the job?
No, exactly. Yeah. But
like, who? He's like, who?
Isn't that telling? They don't even trust him to stand up there and take some questions, which they're probably right about.
Yeah, no, I think they probably made the right call.
But he slips up with the timeline or he slips up with the detail, and now you're losing draft picks because it was a sham process. Like, yeah, that would have been problematic.
What was the deciding factor in Vrabel over Leftwich? He's like, who? Who's that now?
Did you take any interviews with Leftwich, Hamilton, or even the Zoom call with Ben Johnson?
He's looking around. He's like, does anybody know who these are talking about?
Are these real names?
Mike Vrabel's our coach.
Are you yanking these real names?
You're trying to get me right now?
You're yanking my chain?
Is this a gotcha moment? Like, what is this? Like, no, these are real guys. All right, let's get to the grab bag. While Mike Vrabel was talking, there was some coaching news around the NFL.
Yes.
That was breaking.
Indeed.
The Dallas Cowboys are not bringing back Mike McCarthy. He was in the final year of his contract. I thought he was going to be gone. Season ended. They were sticking with him. And all reports were he's going to sign. Apparently, they couldn't come to terms on a length of the contract, and he is going to pursue other opportunities and now add the Dallas Cowboys to the list of teams that need a head coach.
Okay, so I find this shocking. Like, if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't have been surprised. The same day Schefter came out and said he was leaning towards Mayo being out, and then Mayo was out later that day, the final Sunday of the regular season, I kind of thought somehow McCarthy was going to survive. So I'm surprised just based on the way it's gone the last couple of weeks and the reporting had gone. Makes sense he's going to be out of a job. I'll tell you one thing Charles Robinson wrote today on a longer takeout about the Patriots and Elliott Wolf and Cowden and Vrabel and who's going to be in charge, and he thinks Wolf is going to have real power. He says the Dallas Cowboys, who Vrabel would have interviewed with had the job been open, were in a holding pattern with Mike McCarthy, blah, blah, blah. So that's a job Vrabel would have been interested in. He gets introduced, and now the Cowboys say they're done with Mike McCarthy. Was that part of the urgency for Kraft? Maybe.
I think I didn't even consider the Cowboys. I thought the Raiders were more of a sense of urgency. Maybe the Cowboys were as well.
So, and that sounds important. Like when Robinson says he would have had interest, but the Cowboys weren't showing any indication. The other one, and this is Jordan Schultz, who reports that for what it's worth, Bill Belichick would have been interested in the Cowboys job. And it's believed that Dallas would have been interested in him.
Wow.
Had he known the position would become available. Belichick and his camp never received any indication during back channel conversations the job would open up, which is partly why he ended up at UNC. Belichick has an excellent relationship with the Jones family. Florio had a note today, too. Bill hasn't really made any coaching announcements at UNC.
No.
It's like Steve Belichick, Mike Lombardi's kid.
Keeping Freddie Kitchens,
but there's no McDaniels, no Patricia, no Judge. Nope. Maybe they're all waiting in case something opens up and Bill flees to the NFL. I don't buy that, but I thought it was an interesting observation. Why hasn't Bill filled out his staff at UNC?
I wonder who the Cowboys get now because they had a chance to maybe get Vrabel or Belichick, and then it's be fascinating to see who they end up landing on.
Don't you know who it is?
You think it's Dion? That'd be pretty sick. That's been real quiet.
It fits. There was one report last week that the Raiders were going to have interest, and then it got peed all over.
Yeah, nothing.
But there's been nothing linking him to Dallas. But then again, I think a lot of people felt like McCarthy was going to keep the job, at least recently. Mm-hmm. So, interesting.
If that reporter was wrong, he should be fired. That's how about the Dion thing?
Like, it'd be crazy.
He should be fired.
Get out. You shouldn't have a job.
If you get one thing wrong, which I have not.
No, you haven't.
Then you should.
I mean, a lot of other insiders have, but you haven't, yeah.
There was a radio report this morning that I know you're aware of.
Yeah.
Costa doesn't want to play in a line with you. I'm just trying to get your reaction.
Well, yeah, I have heard, what was said in the
grab bag.
He landed it.
Marshawn likes grab bag.
Yeah, I got a few of those.
Nice.
Or that we get.
Oh, good.
Yeah. got emails. They're like, too soon? I'm like, no.
Same person?
No.
Different people.
Yeah, multiple Marchand grab bags.
Man, oh, man, our listeners.
College football, we're down to the finals, which will take place 1 week from tonight. So in the first semifinal, Notre Dame beat Penn State by 3. And then on Friday, Ohio State beat Texas by a couple of touchdowns. Big fourth quarter for Ohio State. So we get Notre Dame versus Ohio State in the championship of the first ever 12-team playoff. What do you think?
I think you ended up with an okay matchup. I took out, when it got down to the Final Four, I took out a future on Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I think Notre Dame has a real shot to win that game. I like the way their defense is playing. I know they're a heavy underdog. It's like, what are they, 8 or 9 points? And if you listen to any of my picks on NFL Wildcard Weekend, you know I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I took out Notre Dame, a future going at plus 400 or something like that, plus 380.
Okay.
Before the Penn State game. I think they have a real shot in that game. And I don't know. I wish you had maybe the top teams remaining instead of the 7 and the 8 seed, but it's played into a real tournament. It's been good.
But that's also misleading because
they
the 7-8
like,
seed, but like they're better than Arizona State. They're better than Boise State. Like,
yeah, but
it's probably still, what, 3-4?
Well, I was going to say, like, but if it were last year and it was only a 4-team tournament, I know it's not.
They wouldn't be in it.
I don't think either of these teams would be in it.
Yeah, you're right.
There was a radio report this morning that I know you're aware of.
Oh, is that the same one?
I believe it's the same one.
You know, that job is a report
there it is.
On the team, and usually you try to be fact-based.
Usually.
But when there's just blatant
grab bags
in the media, that's where there's a problem.
When there's blatant grab bags in the media. The Boston Celtics, kind of under the radar, because everybody's talking about Brad Marchand and all the stuff going on with the Bruins. Of course, you have Mike Vrabel. You have Wild Card Weekend. Celtics played the Pelicans yesterday. They did not play well. They did not shoot well. And they held on for dear life, and they got a win. But one great comment, I don't know if you caught any of the postgame, but Jason Tatum was saying how C.J. McCollum at the free throw line went up to Tatum. He's like, is it always turned up in
this? Oh, yeah, I saw that. I thought you were talking about something else. Yeah.
No, I was talking about them, like him putting over the crowd, being like, you know, they play in New Orleans at, like, the Smoothie King Arena, which I've actually done a game with.
I was just going to say, you've been there, right?
Yeah, it was cool.
Nice.
They gave us smoothies.
Nice.
I was like sucking it down. Granny's doing the broadcast. I was like eating a smoothie. And they're like, you know, chime in here. I'm like, these guys just brought these smoothies over.
Hey, man, I'm not going to waste a smoothie.
If the smoothie king, it'd be disrespectful not to have it.
Yeah.
But, he's just like, is it always like this in here? And Tatum's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who we play, when we play, it's a good crowd. So I thought that was cool.
Okay. So there was a 5-second violation by Derek White that almost cost him the game. C.J. McCollum had a real chance to win the game, a good look at it.
Yep, he did.
And he blew, you know, a short look at the hoop. What happened prior to the 5-second violation, and this is what I thought you were going to talk about, Tatum missed 2 straight free throws.
Yeah.
13 seconds left, he missed 2 straight free throws, which, you know, could have lost him the game. He said it's uncharacteristic missing 2 free throws. Just put the game away, no excuse for that. But I made countless plays to win games and stuff over my career.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy about that, but we still won.
He has some weird comments sometimes.
I
he does.
To me, I'm less enraged by that now that he's won a title.
Yes.
That would bother me a lot more if he said this last year or 2 years ago or something like that. But yeah, comments like that still don't sit great with me. It's like, I make a lot of winning plays, you know, whatever. I just missed a couple of free throws.
At least they won the game, though.
Yeah.
They did.
True.
Personal foul. 69. Offense. He was giving them the
grab bag.
He played it there.
Wild Card Weekend. We're going to do a full what happened tomorrow, and because we've been so busy today, but we'll recap all of the games, including tonight's game, Minnesota and L.A. The game has been moved to Arizona because of the wildfires, but Vikings and Rams. What's your pick again for tonight?
Well, I would fade my picks based on how it's gone, but I got Rams straight up. I think they're +2.5 the last I saw it. I got a money line.
Okay. I've gone back and forth on this one. I will take the Vikings. Give me Kevin O'Connell.
Honestly, the way my weekend went,
that's
probably good, yeah.
Well, the one home team that lost was like the one team I was in on. I was in on the Bucks. I was in on the Bucks last night.
I was,
yesterday.
I had the Chargers covering. Didn't happen.
No.
I had the Steelers covering. Not even close.
No.
I had, what was the first game yesterday? Broncos covering. Didn't happen.
No, they did not.
I got
no.
the Philly game right. That's the only game I got right. And I also had Tampa covering last night. Didn't happen.
Hello, grab bags. My old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Very nice. Boston Bruins are off tonight.
Mm.
They'll be in action tomorrow against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So they got a massive win.
Yeah.
Big response.
Yeah.
Big in-your-face media guy.
Yeah,
they got a big win
that.
In overtime against the Florida Panthers. But still, you look at the standings. they've played so many more games than teams, it's hard to kind of keep track. So they're still, as of this second, a playoff team, but they are holding on for dear life.
They're dropping like a stone is what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But they did pull out a victory. They gave Florida a point in the process because they collapsed at the end of regulation. Mm-hmm. But they did pull out a victory over the weekend. And maybe they can make it a two-game winning streak, Keith.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Fingers crossed.
Grab bag. Grab bag.
All right, top NBA performers from Sunday. We have a lot of candidates here, Jones. Two from the Knicks, Jalen Brunson, 44-5-6. Karl Anthony Towns, 30-18. Zach LaVine went off for 36-10. Devin Booker, 35-8. 30-5-8.
Mm-hmm.
And then Domantas Sabonis, 22 points, 15 rebounds, 8 assists.
And Sabonis lit up the Celtics on Friday night, too.
Oh, my God. What even, like 1,000 rebounds?
28?
In one game?
Yeah, it was something like that.
It was crazy.
I would go with the two Knicks. I told you, LaVine's been on an absolute tear. He's having a great season. I would go with one of the two Knicks. They put up 140 against the Bucks. Give me Brunson,
I think. LaVine gets traded?
Yes.
I mean, they probably should. Yeah.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's Random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, we are going with a third baseman, first baseman, outfielder.
Third baseman, first baseman, outfielder.
Little bit of everything.
Ulibanez.
honestly, I don't know if we've done this guy before.
It's our first three-peat.
Yeah, honestly, could be.
Yeah.
What if I told you he was a lefty stick?
Nice.
Throw it righty.
Okay.
I know that confuses
that
you at
honestly
times.
Makes it worse, yeah.
He'll throw you a right. Well, obviously, he had to throw it a right. He played third base.
Uh-huh.
But he hit you a left hand. Played for a lot of teams. You guys ready for the teams?
Sure.
Cleveland, Milwaukee, Seattle, Cincinnati, San Diego, Tampa Bay, the Angels, Arizona, St. Louis, and Philadelphia.
Wow.
Played the majority of his games for Cleveland. Followed by Milwaukee, Seattle, and Cincinnati. Everybody else who was like less than a year's worth of games.
Third base, first base, outfield?
Yep. Yep. Played all those spots. Let me tell you what he played.
Paul Sorrento?
No, good one.
I want to say Richie Sexton didn't move around that much, right?
No, not that much, no.
He was a better player, too.
331 games at third, 242 at first, 150 in left, 71 in right.
Dang.
Corner outfielder, corner infielder.
All-star appearance.
Zero all-star appearances.
Man.
No real accolades to speak of. However, he did play from 1990. Well, he played one game in 98, 11-99. So he really kind of broke through in 2000. Then his last game was in 2011.
Okay, so I was thinking of the wrong Cleveland teams.
So he played in all of the 2000s.
Yeah.
Would he sock you a dinger? Sure he would. 2009, 31 bombs.
Wow, nice player.
31 bombs.
Okay.
He would not steal any. He had four total 20-plus home run seasons. Lefty stick.
Man.
Yeah, lefty stick.
Okay.
He'd sock you a dinger.
Four 20 homer seasons. He topped out at 31.
232 batting average.
Not great.
Not great.
Okay.
814 OPS.
Better.
Nothing to sneeze at. What if I told you this?
Yeah, tell me
more. If you're looking for a little more info.
I don't have much. Not Jeremy Burnett's.
He made $7 million in his career.
That's it?
Yeah, it seems like it can't be right.
Oh, boy.
He played that long. He made $7 million.
I
gotta feel bad for the guy.
You got anything there,
Bill?
Well,
he was ever an all-star.
I got nothing.
I'm gonna look around. Do you see it in the Twitch chat?
I think it might have already scrolled past.
Okay,
I think somebody did get it right.
That's
in the Twitch
actually. You know what?
Teams, man.
Aramis Ramirez is a good player, but that guy definitely made all-star teams.
If E from Brockton had to Google it, then I'm pretty sure it's a real random baseball player.
Text line. I'm not sure I see it. Was it Russell Branyon?
He got it.
Russell the Muscle Branyon.
I do remember him, and
I guess that guy was random.
I guess I remember Cleveland and Milwaukee. Credit to the Twitch chat who had Russell Branyon. I did not get that. Yeah. I don't see it on the text line. I think Twitch had it.
Yeah.
A couple of different places.
Six career postseason games. Never got out of the DS.
$7 million?
That doesn't seem right.
I do kind of feel bad for him.
Russell the Muscle.
Is that guy in media?
Throw him a couple bucks if you can. Russell the Muscle.
Guy's been working Brewers postgame until he's 80 years old. Poor guy. Poor fella.
Yep.
Okay.
Journeyman.
Random baseball player of the day.
That's as random as it gets.
He's Russell the Muscle, or you're just calling him that?
No, that was his name.
Was it?
Yeah, hell yeah, it was.
You don't remember Russell the Muscle Brannion? Played for the Brewers, the Cleveland, corner infielder, corner outfielder. You don't remember? Wow, 420 home run seasons. There you go. That's in the grab bag each and every day here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. We will get you WEEI afternoon, see what Arcan and Hart have coming up. We're also going to give you, update here.
What do you got?
Greg Hill Show will be live tomorrow morning from Gillette Stadium with Mike Vrabel.
Hell yeah. That's exciting. I also, somebody made a great Photoshop of me pounding sand in a closet.
Yeah, is that?
What?
It looks somewhat.
What do you mean?
How that sand.
That's what Brad wanted me to do.
But how the sand is piled is somewhat.
Yeah, it does look.
It's
strange.
Erotic. Suggestive. Yeah, erotic maybe is the right word for it. Yeah. I wasn't really sure what to do with that one.
That's fine with me.
But anyway.
I'll just retweet it. That's what I'll do.
Check out Keefe's timeline there. And also a programming note again. It'll be Mike Vrabel tomorrow morning. We were just speculating about that. Yeah. I'm not surprised. Live from Gillette Stadium.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Yeah, probably.
Cut that pile of sand in half. That's what you're going to have to do. But so that's tomorrow morning here on WEEI. We'll check with WEEI Afternoons and get you our clip du jour next.
All right, time now for the clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe. Jones, ready for that?
Sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day, and it was a couple of our great callers.
Oh.
We had a lot of great callers. Yeah, of course, we had the Vrabel news. We had the Brad Marchand response. So let's dive into what these guys were saying.
Barry is in New Bedford. Get us started today, Barry.
I'm McDaniels. I'll get a restraining order. I'll have Donald Trump deport him. I don't want that guy even close to Drake May. Close to Drake May, he's under arrest. Because he's ruined. Don't look what he did with Derek Carr. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't want that guy near any quarterbacks. Brady made Josh, plain and simple. Okay? Everybody knows it. And the reality is, you want Ben Johnson? Go get the passing coordinator in Detroit, Tanner Engstad, or Michael LaFleur, Matt's brother. Anything but Josh McNeil's.
Yeah, ABM. Barry. This is Darth Vader in Fall River.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is Darth Vader. What took you so long to answer the damn phone? Keith, I stand by you. You stand by me. You are absolutely right.
Thank you.
And as far as your mailbox goes, it's a ring camera, man. You got to put a ring camera.
Yeah, good idea. True. Thank you, Darth.
Yeah. If you don't lose your job, you should buy one of those.
Vader.
Yeah.
How about that,
Vader?
Darth Vader calling
good
in.
Good Vader
to
impression.
Defend the scoop and maybe give me a little tip on Somebody smashed my
mailbox. And as far as your mailbox goes.
Nice. A little follow-up there.
Excellent. Let's see what WEEI Afternoons has coming up. The crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. If you're in the mood for a warm, hearty meal, visit the 99 Restaurant. Try their home-style chicken pot pie, freshly baked to order, and topped with a buttery, flaky crust. Or you can try the new double barbecue turkey tips. You gotta love the nines. What's coming up today, boys? A lot of Vrabel takeaways, I'd imagine?
A lot of Vrabel takeaways. Andy was there. So Andy was on the ground down there at Gillette today. So,
nice.
Yes.
I was on my way. And I didn't even stay for the lunch that they served afterwards.
Wouldn't be bought off.
Wow. How about that?
It was good. I heard you guys a little bit. I thought he kind of nailed it.
It was good.
I thought he took some, I won't say they were veiled shots at his predecessor, but circumstantially.
Opposite approaches in many ways.
They were in reference to his predecessor. Most noticeably, I thought, I could have started my career here coaching, but I thought I had to have my own journey. And if it ever worked out, it worked out kind of thing.
Definitely.
And I actually agree with him. Like, I think that's why he's a good candidate and more people like him than if it were just the traditional Troy Brown or Dante Hightower or Mayo, obviously.
Do you think it's definitely McDaniels as offensive coordinator, or do you think that's still up in the air?
I think it's McDaniels.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
I know you like McDaniels, though.
I like McDaniels, and I like his production.
You don't like Vrabel over there, right?
I was not a Vrabel. He was not my first choice.
Not to spoil the whole thing, but do you feel any better about it after hearing him today?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I think he sounded more like after, because Mayo last year was just such a weird press conference. I heard you guys talking about it, the Thunder thing, very light on substance. It was
racism.
All just kind of, the weird things they were talking about there. This was a lot more focused. It was a lot more centered, I thought, and Vrabel's done it before. So you could definitely tell that as you're listening to him. Like, this is a guy who, at the very least, has done this part of it before, is much more comfortable with this element
element of it. And that was probably the least of Gerard Mayo's problems, but it's all we have to see so far.
Well,
so, there you go.
Fair. So you got this on WEEI Afternoons all day long. A reminder, Mike Vrabel will be on tomorrow morning live from Gillette Stadium with the Greg Hill Show. So
burn
mark
some
that
cash.
Down.
Yes.
Nice. We'll be,
Benny doesn't say that.
We'll be reacting to whatever wins. He says.
What if he does say exactly that?
It'd be amazing.
It would be a good
it'd be
joke.
Amazing.
It would be a good pull. We'll be reacting to that live tomorrow here at 10 on a Tommy Tuesday. Normally some tears on Tuesday, and Kiefer Madness as well. It's tomorrow at 10.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.